Rusty Quill presents The Magnus Archives. Episode 65, Binary.
Quite all right.
Yeah, just your tape recorder. It's old.
I get that a lot.
I just mean I've been thinking about analog and digital, what we mean by them.
In terms of information?
Yeah, or we use the word digital to refer to one specific way of storing information, discrete signal values interpreted at pre-established levels. Analog is just a fancy way of saying everything else. Almost everything in the world is analog, but we're obsessed with digital. We try to render everything into it, break the world down and turn it into as much binary as it takes. But it's not the same. I used to work on OCR programs, teaching computers to read, to take the messy physicality of the written word and convert it into something that a computer can understand in a digital format.
I'm not sure what this has to do with my tape recorder.
Magnetic tape. Everyone thinks it's analog, but it's digital. A lower-tech version than what we use now, but people forget that it was used to store computerized data for decades. Or maybe it reminds people of a film reel, or maybe nostalgia turns everything analog. Though people always think of digital as not really there, but the thing is, information is always physically present. It doesn't exist as some formless nothing. Even within the tiniest, most advanced storage systems, physical memory cells change and alter themselves to render that information in a language all of their own. But I suppose it isn't language. Not really, because language, as we use it, is about as far from digital as you can get. Or we may call them words, but the units of data that a computer works with are by their nature discrete and definite, while the words we use are clumsy, vague things, always at the whim of interpretation and decay. Well, it's an obvious thing to say that a computer cannot feel, but it's true. No sequence of distinct ones and zeros can replicate the swirling cocktail of chemicals and you know, nerves that is a human being, or any other animal for that matter. Oh, nothing about humanity is binary.
Right. So you work in computers, then?
Sorry, I am. It's been a while since I talked to someone in person. Been spending a lot of time in my own head, you know? Used to just dumping information when I get the chance. I have a blog, actually. But I haven't posted for almost a year. Almost too embarrassed to now. Assuming I'm not losing my mind, of course.
Yes, I hear that a lot, too.
Well, that's what's terrifying, isn't it? Your mind is all you are. There's no backup, no reset if it goes. I'm not just talking about madness as it appears, but what it is from inside. The way people talk about it, it's like you have to think you're sane. That our mind is everything we perceive, everything we are. Well, that means you can never know when your grasp might be slipping. I'm not convinced that's it, though. Or maybe deep down, somewhere inside, you understand what's happening to you. And I don't know which scares me more.
Look, I don't want to rush.
I've got a lot of friends whose retirement plans basically comes down to uploading their minds into a computer and living forever in a virtual world. They're so sure it's just around the corner. I've never had the heart to tell them it's impossible. That the human brain is a wet mess of analog signal interpretation that is as far removed from the clean logics of digital processing as it's possible to be. We've tricked ourselves into thinking that computers and people have anything in common. But no matter how good we may program them to be at pretending to think like us, that's all we'll ever be. Crossing the line from meat and chemicals into pure digital systems is impossible. And everything else is just sophisticated programming, an illusion.
I mean, that's fascinating, Ms. Winters, but I must politely ask you to start your statement.
What do you think I've been doing?
Traditionally, our concerns are with the particulars of the supernatural incident, its origins and manifestations.
I'm giving you context.
Fine. In that case, I still need to make the official notations. Statement of Tessa Winters regarding a strange computer program she downloaded from the deep web 3 months ago. Is that accurate?
Well, first off, I didn't find it on the deep web. God, it's like talking to my grandpa. Well, let me explain something quickly. Anytime someone tries to give you a line about the deep web, or even better, the dark net, chances are they wouldn't know a VPN from their own ass. There's not some secret sinister underbelly of the internet where, with the right passwords and double talk, you can hack your way into a black market of assassins, drug lords, and secret forums. It's just that some websites want you to be a bit more security-minded and need you to use the right, you know, software, so you're not monitored. I mean, yes, there's drug stuff on there, but it's mostly just paranoid geeks who don't want to be caught pirating Photoshop.
Noted. Statement recorded direct from subject, 7th January 2017. Statement begins.
Have you ever heard of Sergei Yushchenko? I'd guess not. He's one of the less well-known online spook stories, and you don't look like you're a regular presence in the chatbot or neural net communities. The story goes back to about 1983, during the first home computer boom. There was this programmer by the name of Sergei Yushchenko. I don't know if that's his real name, probably not, since a Yushchenko is a type of furry Russian hat and he probably never actually existed, but he was supposed to have been a real digital guru. Well, according to the story, he got sick. In most versions, it's brain cancer, but some say early onset Alzheimer's or some sort of undiagnosed brain infection. Point is, it was killing him and it affected his brain. Now, Sergei didn't want to die. The idea of death terrified him, and whatever was eating his mind gave him the idea to try and save his consciousness, to upload his brain. Well, the next bit, it depends on how ghoulish a version of the story you're told. In some, he spends a fortune in every last hour of his last months trying desperately to code his own mind into his system. And he ends up lying dead at the keyboard, decomposing fingers still tapping away the last slivers of himself. Other versions get a bit more grotesque, handwritten code in his own blood feeding into the machine. I even heard one where he took the direct approach, removed the casing of his computer, carved off the top of his skull, and used the last ounces of his strength to impossibly shove his own deceased brain right into the circuitry. Whatever version you're told, the story goes that it actually worked, and the police found a pile of floppy disks full of impossible code next to the mutilated body of Sergei Yushchenko. I'm sure you can guess the next bit. First on floppy disks, then later on CD, and eventually downloaded directly. Sergei Yushchenko has been a running prank for people who like to code text passes and chatbots. They're not unlike screamer videos, just a lot slower and ideally subtler. You create a program which appears to be a chat window with a stranger who identifies themselves as Sergei. The responses should be as naturalistic as possible to begin with, and in the best ones, it's hard to tell if you're talking to a bot for the first minute or two. But then the responses start to break down, become more sinister, and keep referring to how much pain Sergei is in. Eventually, the only response the bot gives you is screaming and pleased to be released. The idea is that the chatbot is Sergei Yushchenko's mind, and he doesn't like being in a computer nearly as much as he'd hoped. If it's well executed, it can be genuinely quite unsettling. The only two consistent details across all of them are a particular image of a heavily pixelated screaming face and the phrase, "The angles cut me when I try to think," which marks the start of the bot's descent into madness. Well, as far as I know, these two things have been consistent right back to the earliest versions of Sergei Yushchenko. Like I say, it's quite a niche legend, but within certain communities, everyone's tried their hand at making a Sergei Yushchenko at least once, or even I looked into it once or twice, and I'm only really on the fringes. I've done a few projects with basic neural nets, but I'd never really tried my hand at a chatbot and gave up after a couple of hours. I used to love them. The whole thing really hit my sweet spot between creepy and nerdy. And if I found myself up at 4 in the morning after watching too many YouTube ghost videos, I'd often go on the hunt for a new one. So when I got a notification from the bot group I'm part of, and it was just a link to a file named yashankasdespair.exe, I didn't hesitate. I downloaded it almost immediately. It was a bit disappointing to see it was a tiny file, or barely over a megabyte. Well, that didn't bode well for the experience, but I was still keen to give it a go later that night when the ambience was better. I looked back at the post and saw that underneath it was comment after comment telling the OP that they'd posted a broken link. I shrugged it off at the time. But looking back, I think I was probably the first person to click it, and the only one it worked for, just unlucky, I guess. I forgot about it for a while, but I didn't have anything scheduled for the next day, so I spent most of the evening drinking and messing about online. It was about 2 in the morning when I remembered what I had waiting in my downloads. I looked out at the dark, empty street below, and a pleasing shiver ran up my spine. I decided I was in the perfect mood to have a chat with Sergei Yashchenko. Opening the program brought up a chat window. It wasn't like most of the others I'd seen. It looked closer to an old-school text adventure with just a flashing line to indicate where to type your text, white on black. Aside from that, the window was empty. I wasn't exactly sure what to do, as usually the bot would make the first move, so I decided to go with a generic, hello. There was no way the bot didn't have a response program for that. I waited, but there didn't seem to be any response. Well, that was fine. Often these things were programmed with waiting times to give the impression of thinking or composing a response. After about 15 seconds, I'm about to give it up as non-functional and close it when the answer comes. It's gibberish, just a mess of symbols and letters, like it was using the wrong characters, or some of them weren't even ASCII. I didn't have time to really process it, though, as they were generating quickly and soon filled the whole screen. They weren't static either, but changing and scrolling and it's going to sound weird, and it was only for a moment, but I could have sworn I saw some of the symbols twitch, like they were in pain. It was making my eyes hurt to watch, and I started to feel dizzy. But I couldn't bring myself to look away. Even then, I thought I was just looking at a very well done horror set piece, especially when I started to notice a handful of English words popping into the wall of shifting text for a second or two at a time. One of them read, help, 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 all run together, and another, it peels my mind like knives. My mouth was dry and my hand was shaking. But even then, all I could think was how good this was. I was genuinely